I really want to say that it is such a privilege for this house to be able to send teams, because you don't realize what happens when we go. And we take what God is doing inside this house and we export it to other places. The Bible says that you reap when you sow. And I'm trusting that what we experienced in sowing into another region, God would do even more so in this region. But we saw things change. An atmosphere over a region that was quite difficult became liberated and free as a result of the presence of God. And the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wherever He is, freedom comes. And we've been part of that this last weekend and will continue. But there's some exciting things happening in this community. We were at a pastor's breakfast from all the pastors around this region. Such a beautiful time. We spent about an hour in worship and prayer, just exalting the name of Jesus, exalting. And I heard a story that I just want to tell you because it just kind of feeds into what our theme is this year as a church community on the other side. And in our community, there is, on the other side of the bridge, there's a big development of housing, informal housing, should we call it, called Chias. It's one of the areas that have been, an area that has been filled with darkness for an incredible amount of time. And there's been churches that have been praying, have been going in there. Some of our people have been going in there just to walk the ground. But I heard a delightful story this week in that one particular church had a connection in there with a guy who was hungry to see God move in that community. And so they've been starting to meet there and starting to do some incredible things. And the result is that there's a gathering of believers in that community. And so they said, it's time that we started, yes, you can applaud that. It's time that we started to see revival and the light of God come in the darkest places. And I love that because that's the commission of heaven upon all of our lives. Can you just adjust this? I feel like I'm reverberating everywhere. But one of the things that they did was that they got hold of someone at Dunlop, which is obviously the neighboring business that was there, and they said, we want to meet with you because we really need to partner together to see something happen in this community. Little did they know that this person that we're meeting was actually the CEO of Dunlop across the country. And it wasn't just a meeting with some local person, some manager who was going to tell them, yeah, we'll give you a few handouts. It was the CEO who rocked up to this meeting. And they tell the story about how this CEO has been influenced by the gospel of Jesus. His heart has been set on fire in that he was in a church up in Pretoria and sitting at the back row and in the church. And the pastor noticed him and that week bumped into him having lunch or dinner or something in the same restaurant. And he went and put a considerable amount of money before him. The pastor did, gave the business guy, the head of Dunlop, a considerable amount of money. And I don't know the value, but they said it considerable. And said, I feel the Lord say, this is for you. And he just said, don't give me anything. I don't need anything. I've got no needs whatsoever. I mean, he's the CEO of Dunlop across the nation. And so he rocks up in this guy's church the next day and says, since that moment, I have been battling with this thing. Why did you give me this money? And the pastor looks at him and says, you need to learn to receive because God loves you and God wants to do something incredible in your life. That moment marked him to such a degree that he's realized that his life belongs to Jesus. And so he rocks up at this meeting and they're talking about this new church that's developing in our area here in Chias. And they're sitting with the group of people that are planting this church. And the one lady says, I really feel like God's saying that you need to give us land, but more than that, you need to build us a building and you need to fund the whole thing. Now, she was with her boss in that conversation. He looked at her and said, you know, like, that's a bit, that's bold, you know? And the guy looked, he said, Jesus has so radically impacted my life over the last while that I believe this is God. And literally, they've started to build a church in that area, fully funded, fully resourced. The kingdom of God is advancing. And I tell you guys, it's time that we started to take our positions in this because God's calling us to get on mission with Him. He's called us to move to the other side. I could tell you a lot more stories. God is doing stuff. There's a church that's just been planted, I think in, I don't know what the area is called, but there's a whole informal settlement by Sadara and on the backside of Maryvale. Anyway, I don't know what the area is called. But I went into a meeting. I was called about 6 months ago, maybe even 7 months ago. And I said, come and please, can you address a whole group of church planters that are coming to this area and just tell them what God's doing in this area, how we can partner together as the churches, we can do this thing. And so I walk in, and my expectation was I'm walking into a room with a couple or maybe two couples that are planting a church here. I walked into the room. There were about 40 people that were relocating from all across South Africa, Cape Town, East London, PE, interior, Bloemfontein, all relocating because God had called them to this region, because the promise is God is moving in the Midlands and we are part of that solution. And so literally last weekend they planted here, it's called Freedom Church, I don't know what the area is called, but it's part of the Midlands region. Friends, I'm telling you all of this because I want you to get excited that God is on the move, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men and women who take hold of it. And we've got forceful men and women across this country moving to this location because they are convinced that there's a move of God, that the churches need to increase, the believers need to increase, the harvest is white, but the workers are few. God is sending workers from outside this region to reap a harvest here. Church, can he count on you? Because God is positioning us in this time to move to the other side. Do you want another story? Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. It's a beautiful story in there. While you're turning there, I'm just going to give you a bit of an intro. Holy Spirit, I welcome you this morning to illuminates and open up the Word of God to us. That, Father, we are changed from this moment on. 2 weeks ago, I launched our vision for the year on the other side. And I am so convinced that God is calling us out of our comfort zones, out of the places that are familiar, the places that we used to venture onto the other side and allow God to transform our lives so that we can transform others. And I reference Luke chapter 8, verse 22, was Jesus taking the disciples in a boat across to the other side of the lake, and he fell asleep in the boat. He came to a place of perfect rest. And his disciples around him were definitely not asleep, because all around the boat was this raging sea. The wind began to pick up. The waves began to pick up. There was a sense of panic in the air because all of a sudden the waves were crashing into the boat, and the boat felt like it was sinking. I love this story because it just illustrates quite directly the difference between somebody who's positioned in a place of absolute rest in God and peace, Jesus, and someone who's not, the disciples. Because they were petrified at what they were seeing. They were petrified at the things that were happening around them. They were petrified of their own lives. Possibly this thing is going to sink. And many of the words that I'm hearing in our culture today is the very same thing. People are petrified at the sinking ship called life. Would you agree with me? Finances, relationships, healing, sickness, all those things, diseases. Just turn on the news, you can see viruses that have never existed before killing multitudes of people. You can see wars and rumors of wars. All of those things are telling us the world is sinking. But yet Jesus seems to be asleep in the midst of that, completely 100% at rest, completely not shaken by anything. Friends, that's the place God is calling us to. I believe the moving to the other side is letting go of the fears and anxieties and the pressures and the confidence in the wrong things to place our confidence back in Christ. Because as they woke him up, he exercised his authority as the one who is above all, the one who is over all, the one who reigns over all, and he literally calmed the storm around. And that is a lesson for the disciples in that moment to realize that they carry the same liberating authority and the same supernatural authority as Christ did in that moment. Because the Bible says this in 1 John 4, verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world. The writer John here was illustrating a point. He was inviting us into an invitation of believing that as Jesus walked in perfect union with the Father, completely submitted to the Father's will, completely empowered by the Holy Spirit, his baptism was an evidence that he was living in an unrestricted access to heaven. The heavens opened. They've never shut again, friends. The Bible talks about the curtain being torn in two, and we have access to move into the place where God is, the dwelling place of God. We have access by His Spirit to move into that place where nothing can hinder our access to God. It says the dove came upon him, the Spirit of God, made his home in that space, and he began to declare, "This is my Son, whom I love and I'm well pleased." He was positioned in a strong identity, empowered by the very nature of God, by His Spirit, and completely accessible. Friends, that's the same reality that we are called to live in. You are sons and daughters of God, dearly loved, completely approved in God. You have access to God 100%, nothing restricting. And the Holy Spirit has come upon us to give us power over every little restriction that happens around us. Do you believe that, friends? Jesus says, "As I am, so are you." That moment we were baptized, something changed over our lives, and we've got to believe it, and we've got to walk in it, and we've got to grow from that place. How did he grow from that place? He took the revelation of his identity, "I know who I am." And as he walked through the desert of testing, he did not shrink back from that new nature, that new identity, that new creation living state. But every single time the enemy came to try and persuade him to give away his authority, to give away his position of access and power and complete love, he looked at it and said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not giving away what has been purchased, what has been presently given to me in this moment." And he literally just used the truth to discount every lie that was coming at him to try and give away something that was his. And friends, that's why we're doing this 21-day fasting of lies. Because all those things that cause us to believe anything other than what we truly are in God has to go. Any other lie that comes to literally disprove any reality that Christ has already proven has to go. And so you walk through this place, and as the authority on his life was proven, and friends, you may be going through stuff right now where you are being tested. All God is doing is proving that he is who he says he is in your life. And if you hold on to the truth, and if you hold on to what God has already established in Christ, and you position yourself so strong in that place, using the word as your sword to deflect and defeat every lie, guess what happens? You emerge on the other side, not just full of authority, but full of power. You see, proven authority looks like power, which means now I don't just walk around knowing who I am. I know who I am so that I can help you know who you are. And that power gets released in your life to such a degree that you begin to know who you are. You see, the church right now is in a beautiful phase where we're beginning to see that we carry this thing. We're beginning to see the authority of Christ in our lives. We're beginning to see that we carry the mantle, the same mantle Christ carried. The Spirit of God is alive inside of us. And in this place, we have a choice to make. We either stand and stand and stand and stand and get proven in that place and walk into power, or literally we take a step back and become obsolete. You see, Jesus was saying, "As I am, so are you," because he was inviting us into the very same things that he was doing across the earth. And we see that the very next verse, as I said last time, he stood up in the middle of the synagogue and he began to proclaim what his mission on earth was. Full of love, full of the power of God, what did he do? He said, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to speak good news, to preach good news where it's not being preached, to speak about hope in Christ where there's no hope, to speak about the goodness of God where I don't see evidence of it. He's called me in this place," and you can go through all the things, to bind up the broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set people free, to bring those who are blind into a place where they can see clearly again. Friends, that is the anointing upon our lives. He's called us to drive out every area of darkness around us because of the liberating authority that's on our lives. You see, I'm convinced that sometimes we think Jesus was merely the peacemaker. In other words, the blood of Jesus just puts a white flag and says, now there's peace between the enemy and God. There's peace between darkness and light. But friends, that's not the case. That's not the goal. You see, the goal is not for us to know that we are okay and we are happy to cohabit with a whole lot of darkness around us. The goal here is that we overtake that darkness with the liberating authority on our lives. You see, the mission of God is not for us to be all great and hallelujah and we know who we are, yet the world around us is full of darkness. Because that would mean that the blood of Jesus has not seen its full effect. And so we see here right now that the goal, and this is what the gospel is so powerful in proclaiming to us. The goal here is that when we know who we are and whose we are, and we position ourselves in that place, we go on mission to eradicate the earth of everything that's anti the gospel. Everything that sets itself up against it as an enemy to the gospel, the truth of who Christ is, what he's done, what he's accomplished, which means poverty has to be driven out. Why? Because his glorious riches have been made manifest in Christ. Sickness has to go because on the cross he purchased healing. Oppression has to be liberated from people. Why? Because where his spirit is, there is freedom. And I can go through many examples, but we have to understand we're not here just to put up the white flag and say truce. I'm okay. We're here to plunder. We're here to go after every single enemy. We can't go, you know, when they went into the promised land, they said defeat the giants. They didn't say go and live with them. And I think for far too many of us, we're living with the reality of darkness around us, not realizing we have the authority and we have the permission to destroy that darkness. We got to drive it out. And Jesus showed through all the Gospels that he was here to show, just as he drove out every area of darkness, he said, do the same. I want to challenge us this morning that any area in our lives and around our lives, any area in the world that represents something that's not the gospel, whose role is it to drive it out? It's ours. It's ours. And we see the mission of Jesus here, to comfort those who mourn. Give beauty instead of ashes. You see, this is driving out darkness. Joy instead of mourning. Imagine a church that so believes in the joy we have in Christ. The position we hold, that wherever we go, we just see joy erupt. Oaks of righteousness, praise instead of heaviness. Luke chapter 5. It's a great story where you see this mission being transferred to the first group of people. And as he was doing this, and I do believe that we're in the season now where God is highlighting the mission we have to drive out every area of darkness because of the glorious liberty that we have received in Christ and the authority that we carry over every area of darkness. As we begin to see and glimpse that, we have to understand that there is going to come a time where God calls us by name and says, I summon you to this. All the way through Scripture, we see how Jesus would go, and he would find particular people, and he said, I call you, I call you, I call you. Bible says many are called, few are chosen, because many don't respond to the call. And I feel right now there's a weight in God across the body to respond with a yes to the call of God, to respond yes to the call to go, to respond yes to the call to liberate people from places of oppression and darkness, to respond yes to beauty instead of ashes, to joy instead of mourning, to praise instead of heaviness, to respond yes to sight instead of blindness, to healing instead of sickness. But this call does come with a few obstacles, and I want to take those obstacles out of our way this morning. Can we do that? Just three obstacles. Let's read Luke chapter 5. Context is Jesus has just healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Anyone want to say amen to that? It's always good to have a healthy mother-in-law. He was sick. She was sick. He came in immediately. She was healed. And many were set free. Many people were set free of demons. And there was authority rested upon Jesus. So Simon Peter already knew that this was the Christ. This was the one who carried the authority to heal and set free. And here he is in Luke chapter 5. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of this place and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were fishing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, but we have caught absolutely nothing. Nevertheless, in spite of this, at your word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. Can we say breaking? So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And it goes on to say, so that when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. This was the calling of the first disciples. The goal here is that Jesus wants to pass on this mission and this authority to a whole group of people. It's called you and I, the disciples. And we see an example here of Simon Peter being called. And I want to make a few points just to help us, because maybe this will give us permission to say yes to the call of God as well. The first thing we see is that Jesus rocks up. Now remember, there was fanfare about healings and deliverances and all sorts of things. And so Simon Peter had understood that this was the Christ who was coming to liberate and set them free. But yet, he was caught in a moment where it felt like he was a complete failure. As a fisherman, when you come back from a whole night of fishing and there's nothing in your nets, that represents zero income. That represents, I've worked hard, I've toiled all night, yet I've caught absolutely nothing. And so there he was, caught in a moment of absolute failure, absolute embarrassment. Here Jesus was, the one who had liberated, set free. Immediately hundreds were getting healed, hundreds were getting set free. And he comes to Simon in his little moments of, I just can't do anything. And what does he do in that moment? He sees him washing his nets. Point number one is this. The setting that God uses to call us onto mission is never convenient. It never feels good and it never feels right. It never feels like I have what it takes. It never feels like my circumstances are perfect. It never feels like I'm ready. In fact, it's usually the contrary to that. In this moment, feeling like a failure, I've just failed in my job. I'm going home tonight with nothing but air. This was a moment his lack was highlights. He was fatigued after working hard all night with nothing to show. I'm sure his anger was mounting and frustration. Why can't I get something? Why can't nothing ever work for me? Ever felt like that? Why does it feel like I put my net out and nothing's working? Friends, in the midst of that place, this could be the place that God is calling you to listen to his voice, and he's calling you on mission. He's saying, right now, I want in this place you'd understand that the convenient place is not the place I call you from. Sometimes it doesn't look like everything's going perfect. That's the very place. Because God's not looking for us to have everything together. God is not looking for our qualifications to respond to this mission. He's looking for our obedience. And sometimes we're going to get to the end of ourselves in order to say yes to God. The second thing we see here is that as Jesus approached this guy, he said, I want you to get back in your boats. I want you to get back in the place that represented a failure. I want you to get back in the place that represents discomfort. I want you to get back in the place that represents frustration. Back in the place that represents embarrassments. Jesus, you're the Messiah, and I've got nothing. Back in the place where you feel lack, where you feel insignificant, where you feel like I'm not good enough. Get back in that place, and I want you to launch out into the deep away from the comfort of land. See, friends, many of us are waiting for the comfortable call of God. I know when I was growing up, I was desperate to be called to the plains of America where everything is cool and everything is just working. But if we are going to say yes to God, we've got to understand God's not looking for convenience or comforts. He's not looking for that place where everything is sorted out. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Friends, there is a level of trust that God is calling us to in this season where we choose to move away from the things that our trust has been in. I remember the moments that I went for my first paddling experience in the sea. I was with a friend and we were probably about grade 6. Maybe even grade 5. His name was Richard, and we were living in Hout Bay at that time, so I went on the sea of Hout Bay in our little canoe, and all of a sudden it was fine. I was in control, everything was perfect, while I could see and swim towards the shore. That was my security blanket. You know, if I could see the shore, and I knew that I could swim there because I was a swimmer, I was comfortable in this place. But something happened, the wind came up, and we began to drift further and further and further away from the shore, and all of a sudden, everything inside of me began not to trust myself anymore, or to be seated in a place of security anymore, because I was moving away from the place that had brought me comfort. And we ended up being pushed into the harbor, and literally below me were these black things that were circling. And I remember thinking, this is it. Jesus, take me home in this moment. Because every bit of panic began to erupt out of me as I looked below me to this depth of this deep, dark ocean, and these black things were swimming around. Fortunately, they were just seals. They weren't sharks. Even though Seal Island was just around the corner, which was known for a place of great white sharks, and that was all I could see, was great white sharks circling below me. You see, friends, sometimes in our walk with God, He's taking us, pushing us beyond the breaker, beyond the place of comfort, beyond the place of our own security, because He wants us to move our seat of trust away from our own understanding and our own ability to the place of trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, this journey of mission with Jesus is never about what we can do. It's always about putting our trust and faith in God, because it's faith that pleases God. It's this journey of understanding that it's not my ability, it's not my strength, it's not my comforts that God's calling here. It's calling me to simple obedience where I trust Him with everything. So in this place, we see that Simon, even though he was frustrated, angry, hopeless, discouraged, you can put any word there, probably sounds a lot like people these days. Maybe some of your seasons in your life. In that space, he still chose to obey and go to the uncomfortable places, launch right into the deep. Friends, I feel like God is calling us to move away from the things that are familiar and comfortable and launch into a whole new adventure with God. Because God wants to show us things that we've never seen before. God wants to take us places we've never gone before. God wants to move us in our relationship to deeper places. He said, let us go into the deep. Let's move away from the surface. My declaration over us over this fast time is take us deep. Let us behold the glory of God like we never have before. Let us worship like we never have before. Let us set aside time in the day that we don't just do surface things, but we allow God to take us deep. And the next thing we see here, and this is the third obstacle. The first one was it's never convenience. Second one, it's never comfortable. It's never secure. Only thing that's secure is trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. That's our security. As we trust, as we acknowledge, we look to Him, fix our eyes on Him, He makes our path straight. The third thing we see in the scripture is He had to get to a point where He had to embrace the nevertheless part of His journey. What do I mean by that? You see, I think the biggest cancer to hit the body of Christ in this day, the biggest thing that's eating away at people's faith and mission in God and being those that liberate the world from the darkness because of the glorious light that's on our lives, the biggest thing, I think, is disappointment. Where I trusted and I believed and I worked hard, I prayed, fasted, I did this, I did all those type of things. I made sure everything was right. And yet, God, You didn't seem to come through. Ever been in that place? This was where Simon Peter was. Why? Because when Jesus said to him, cast your nets on the other side, do something new, take another step, go after something new, take the dream that God has placed in your heart and take a step and do it. Go after it. His first reaction was, God, but we toiled all night and caught nothing. You see, many of us are sitting in the place of hope deferred that's making our hearts sick. And there's this sickness that's breeding in the body of Christ. It's anti the faith of God. It's anti movement on our mission with God. It's keeping people bound up in, well, how is it going to be any different this time? You see, if we don't process and deal with our disappointment correctly, what it will do is will stop us from becoming and stepping into the mission of God across this earth. It'll stop us going after the very things that God has called us to go after. But what did Simon and Peter do? He said, nevertheless, in spite of my negative past experience, I choose to obey. If we are going to become the people that hear the call of God to go, hear the call of God to influence the world around us, hear the call of God to take our workplaces seriously as our mission fields, we have to heal in the area of disappointment. Church, are you hearing me this morning? This, I honestly believe, is the biggest thing that God has got his finger on right now. He's saying, in the midst of a negative, a bad past experience, will you say yes? You see, I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 15 quick and just talk through a few things of how to heal in this place, because I think it's so important we understand this. Hopefully I can get it out correctly. But I think the areas God didn't rock up is not the issue. Because we know he's good. We know that he turns all things to good. We know all those kind of things. But the lie that we believe as a result of that, I think, is the issue. And this is the lie that we often believe that's often associated with an expectation or something not being fulfilled, is this, that somehow I'm not quite good enough. Somehow I'm not the chosen one. And somehow what I do is not good enough. I just don't have what it takes. Ever been caught in that lie? Like God, you promised this, and I see evidence of it in Sophie's life. I see evidence in Jack's life. But I don't see evidence in my life. Or maybe I'm not the one. Maybe I'm just not good enough. And the result is that that situation becomes to breed a lie inside of us that we are somehow not chosen. We are not the ones that God wants to be with. Or we are not the ones that God wants to do something for. You get what I'm saying? That, friends, is sickness. Because it's not the truth. And why do I know that? Because let's look at Luke chapter 15 very quickly. It's the story of the prodigal sons. Story of the older brother. I want to focus on the older brother for the moment. Luke chapter 15. We can read it together. Verse 25. It says, "Now his older brother was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry, the older brother, and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'For many years I've served you. I've never transgressed your commandments at any time, and you never have given me anything that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours.'" You see, I think the mindset that we deal with God in is same like the older brother, is that I have worked so hard, therefore I should receive. I have done all the right things, therefore my righteousness means that I should get the best. And so we equate the receiving from God and the receiving of whatever, answers to prayer, God's breakthrough, all those kind of things, to something that we have done. Therefore, we feel quite justified when if things don't go according to plan, or we don't receive what we want, of having a little anger, pity party moment. Am I right? Because I worked hard for this. And I think that's at the core of disappointments across the body of Christ, is that we feel justified in holding God to ransom because somehow we've worked hard for something. Now, friends, I totally understand that. I mean, if you've worked hard and someone else in your company gets a promotion, how do you feel? Like, that's just not fair. But yet, that's going around the body of Christ. Someone else is receiving something. Someone else, and we look over the fence and and all of a sudden, it makes us believe the lies like this older brother that keeps us away from the Father. You see, what happened in this, as soon as he saw this happening, he started believing the lie that he was rejected somehow, or that somehow he was a failure. And so as a result of that, he looked at the Father and said, "I'm angry at you. So much I'm going to distance myself. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to celebrate," and all sorts of things. And what we see happening in the body of Christ is the very same thing. God, you're not fair, therefore I'm going to disconnect and move away. Friends, that's not the place of living on mission with God. And what did the Father do? He came towards him. In other words, he's not prepared to let us stay in that place. He moves towards us. And what was the words he said? He says, "My son." He spoke lovingly and tenderly to him and says, "My son, don't you realize? I'll quote it correctly here. "Don't you realize that you are always with me and all that I have is yours?" You see, because the reality is this, is that with Jesus in our boat, he becomes the standard for us receiving all things. Because he's worked on our behalf. He has made the sacrifice. He is the one that has completed the work needed for us to receive the inheritance that God's got for us. And with Jesus in the boat with Simon Peter, something new was about to happen. He was about to enter grace. He was about to enter the space where it wasn't about his efforts or his works or his righteousness anymore. It was about Jesus sitting in the boat. You see, because in that moment, just like the older brother, we have to understand that because of Christ, we are always with God. So that question of, am I rejected? Am I just not good enough? Am I not chosen? Is absolutely obsolete because we have been chosen in Christ. We have been fully redeemed in Christ. God is completely with us all the time. And the second thing, all that he has becomes ours. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus, it says every single promise became yes and amen. Every single thing that God had promised mankind became yes and put into our bank accounts in that moment that we said yes to Jesus. It was fully done. All things have been added. And so that thought of, well, I'm just not quite good enough to receive that is absolute lie, because Jesus received it on your behalf and says, here it is. As you believe in it, you can receive it. God's calling us to transition out of a space of our dead works, trying to prove our value and our worth and our ability to receive, and moving into the place like Simon Peter, where Jesus is in our boats. And because of what he had done, because of the hard work that he had done on the cross, because of everything that he accomplished, we get to receive all things. How do I know that? Cast your net on the other side and let me show you. He was showing that in this place where you've done it on your own and achieved nothing, now you'll do it with me and you'll achieve everything. Because everything is yours. Just like the Father said, all that I have is yours. Why are you complaining about one cow? You own all the cows. Come on, the pity party is not really true here. Many of us are looking for the little scraps that God wants to give us. When God says, you already own it all because you're in Christ. And I've given it all over to my son. That means I've given it all over to you. As he put his net on the other side, says, as the scriptures say, immeasurably more than he could even think of. Why? Because the nets began to break and the boat began to sink. Friends, God wants to do immeasurably more. We've got to have Jesus in our boat. We've got to be fully confident that we are seated in Christ. That God doing more is not dependent on you doing more. That God doing more is not dependent on you being good enough or not good enough. That God doing the immeasurably more in your life is not dependent on your serving. It's not dependent on how righteous you are in your own efforts. It's because of the righteousness of God that has become ours in faith by believing. It's because of the finished work that happened where he accomplished all things. And we just get to sit in that place and simply obey, simply do what he says we need to do. We simply follow his word. And Simon Peter in this moment, Jesus sitting right next to him, he said, even though my experience has been that, I choose to believe. He cast his net, and all of a sudden, the abundance of God, the more than enough, began to sink their boats that they had to call partners in to try and reap what God wanted to release upon them. You see, because heaven is full of abundance. And it's waiting to manifest in your life by believing it and aligning your heart to that place where you receive all things in Christ. At the end, he said, they forsook all and began to follow him. I love this because Abraham went through the same test where he was, I didn't receive the promise. I didn't receive what I'd been praying for in Genesis chapter 15. And God pitches up in that moment and says this. He says, I am your very great reward. Not your promise, I am. What were these disciples? What had they encountered? They'd encountered the treasure already, Jesus. Like they'd encountered the reward so they could forsake all things that they thought were rewards and they could follow him. Friends, because there's an eternal framework here that we have to understand. This is not just about a bless me club. This is not just about, all of a sudden I need to do the right thing so God can answer my prayers. Friends, that is legal. It's religious. I need to be positioned in Christ so that all things come under my feet. So that all things are released. Why? Because I choose to believe and obey. I choose to submit into that space where God is king over my life. And it's not because I'm getting something. These people were willing to forsake all things because they had found the pearl of great price. They had found the greatest treasure of all. The cost to follow Christ is hard if you've never found the treasure. It really is. Because if you've never experienced the reward of Him, His presence, His love, His mercy, His kindness, His overwhelming strength in times of, if you've never experienced the treasure, then all the things that we have to forego become really laborsome and difficult. But God's calling us to that place of intimacy just like this, where you see and behold something, and you're willing to forsake everything and follow, because the pearl, the treasure, the reward is worth it. Friends, God's calling us into that same mission. Who will go? Who will go and liberate a whole generation of people from darkness? Who will go and set people free, bring life to those people who are in poverty? Who will go and literally cause ashes to be displaced by beauty again? It's going to come when we choose to let go of convenience and comforts, launch into the deep, let go of our past experiences that have somehow been justified by our hard work, and get Jesus in our boats again that says, God, I can offer you nothing but filthy rags in my own righteousness. But I choose to believe you. I choose to see you and see myself the way you see me. And I choose to obey your voice and see the more than enough of God released across the earth. I will follow and forsake all in that space.